Coming up this weekend, the Woodstock Opera House will present the Woodstock Mozart Festival with concert performances under the banner Mozart and More. There are concerts on Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. with Donato Cabrera conducting, with music of Mozart, Bartok, Stravinsky, and Haydn. And the guest soloist will be pianist Vasily Primakov to play Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 17. We're very pleased to welcome Vasily Primakov for a live impromptu here on WFMT ahead of his performance. And he will play for us today Chopin, Mozart, Scriabin, and Rachmaninoff. So welcome, Vasily Primakov.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, we've been a big fan of your recordings over the years here at WFMT. In fact, your most recent release is a two CD set of Chopin. It was one of our featured new releases of the week on WFMT, and you're going to start off your recital today with Chopin. You've said you've had a very early love and appreciation for Chopin's music. When did this start?
Well, the first piece that I ever played by Chopin, I was 10 years old, and it was a waltz in E-flat major, Opus 18. And for somebody who's 10, you know, that piece is kind of substantial, and it was really hard because, you know, it was kind of my teacher, she was asking me to do things, you know, like she would ask a grown-up musician, you know. Right away we started discussing Chopin's rubato and phrasing, and I think the relationship, my relationship with Chopin, started right there, because I realized how beautiful his music was and the challenge I particularly liked.
Well, you're going to play for us today to start off a Polonaise by Chopin, and that will be the Polonaise in C sharp minor, Opus 26, number 1. And then one of the ballades, ballade number 3, which is featured on your new recording. You've recorded all of the ballades. And they have obviously a literary inspiration, but there's this this combination of poetry and music that comes through in the music. Describe this piece to us.
Well, you know, it's kind of amazing because a lot of people talk about the fact that Chopin was inspired by Adam Mickiewicz, you know, the Polish poet, and there's actually a story that really kind of fits the third ballade, and we don't know whether it was that particular poem. I actually forgot the name of the poem. It's something to do with this girl, well, actually this guy, this young boy who is going on a journey, sort of wandering through the forest, and he meets this young girl and, of course, falls in love immediately, and they have this beautiful affair, and then, of course, she asks him under no circumstances to never follow her, never to ask her where she's from. And of course, right away, you know, he follows her and kind of spies on her, and sees once she comes to a lake, you know, she drops her clothes and she jumps into the water and she turns into a mermaid. And right there, you know, he realizes that, of course, they can never be together. So, you know, it's funny because all of the Chopin ballades end quite dramatically, very, very tragically. And this is the only ballade out of four that ends in a major key. And even though the ending of that poem is, of course, poem is much more beautiful. I'm just trying to kind of, you know, paraphrase it quickly. Mm-hmm. He jumps into the water right after her. And of course he dies, but the moral of the story is that love conquers it all. So that beautiful coda in the third ballade is quite significant.
All right, well, here are these two works by Chopin, a Polonaise and a ballade, with pianist Vasily Primakov.
Thank you.
Two works by Chopin played for us live today in the Levin studio by pianist Vasily Primakov. First we heard the Polonaise in C-sharp minor, opus 26, number 1, and then the Ballade, number 3, in A-flat major, opus 47. And Vasily Primakov will perform this weekend in the Mozart Fest at the Woodstock Opera House in a Mozart piano concerto. Performances are this Saturday and Sunday, and for more information, visit mozartfest.org. You have some more Chopin coming up for us in a moment, a scherzo, but as I was listening to you play that piece and to hear the introduction and talk about that important connection of literature in Chopin's music and really telling a story through his music, and you said that was the Mozart, or rather the Chopin Opus 18 was one of the first pieces that you played. Very early on, your teacher in Moscow recognized that you had a sympathy with Chopin's music. What else did she impress upon you in terms of interpreting his music?
Well, one of the most important things that she always talked about, and actually not just to me, but I think all of her students, is of course the sound, the quality of sound, and it's always has to be singing and never harsh. And of course Chopin, I think, teaches you the most about how to get the sound out of the piano and get all the colors and nuances. And I think it's one of the most challenging thing for any pianist, and I think Chopin presents specific challenges in that department. So I think that was constant work on you know, sound, the singing tone.
And your teacher was Vera Gornostaeva, and at the Moscow Conservatory. And you just recently, in fact, or as part of your new label, we'll talk about that maybe a little later on, but LP Classics is a label that you created with fellow pianist Natalia Lavrova. But you've actually gone back and reissued some never-before-released recordings of your teacher.
Yes, because, yeah. I mean, she, I've always felt bad because, of course, growing up and studying with her, I realized how great of a pianist she was. And for Soviet Union countries, so to speak, you know, during the Soviet regime, she was very, very prolific. She performed a lot. But due to the situation, you know, with the government and Soviet regime, she was blacklisted for over 20 years, and her career really never got to the West. So basically the invitations were coming in, but, you know, she was always denied the visa, whatever you call it. So kind of she's known to the world as a teacher because, of course, her students constantly playing everywhere and winning competitions. But her pianistic career kind of only was known in the East. And we went to a Russian archive and just kind of, you know, on a whim, just asked, you know, emailed them, asked them, well, do you have any recordings of her? And they sent us a huge list. Apparently, all those recordings were live from concerts that they collected over the years. And they were just there sitting, collecting dust. So we started listening and realized that it was sort of like a gold mine. Of course, it takes a while for each CD to be done because, you know, those materials were never transferred onto digital, so it's kind of a process of remastering those tapes.
Well, and then I read when you talked with her, she didn't even know that those recordings had been made.
No, she had no idea. Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, during the concerts that you play, you see microphones and then the concert is recorded, but of course, she kind of assumed that it just sort of like, I don't know, disappeared. And she had no idea that, that there was that collection and it was actually quite well preserved and sitting in some archive. And so when we started releasing, we released two volumes so far, and I remember coming to her and just, you know, for her to listen, and of course her reaction, I mean, she's 84 right now, her reaction is sort of mind-blowing because she was sitting there listening to her playing from 1959, and, you know, she just, you know, it's overwhelming, I think.
Sure. The next piece that you're going to play for us is a Chopin scherzo, and this is also included on your new CD of Chopin works. And of course, the word scherzo itself literally means joke in Italian, but these pieces could hardly be called jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're, well, I think you'll hear it, you know, it's I think the joke was actually calling them a scherzo. It's much more dramatic and hardly a joke.
And the one that you're going to play today is the Scherzo number 3 in C sharp minor, opus 39, with Vasily Primakov. Thank you. Chopin's Scherzo No. 3 in C-sharp minor, Opus 39, played for us today in a live impromptu from the Faye and Daniel Evans studio by Vasily Primakov, who is our guest, and he will play Mozart next, also some Scriabin and Rachmaninoff, and you have the chance to hear him in concert this weekend as part of the Mozart Fest at the Woodstock Opera House. You're going to play one of the Mozart fantasies in a moment. I know that that Chopin often cited Mozart as an influence, or at least he had an intense admiration for Mozart's music. And I really can't think of two composers who are maybe more different. I mean, in terms of their style, obviously coming from different periods, but their personalities. But what do you think it was in Mozart's music that appealed to Chopin or influenced him?
I think one of the things I would say it's the poetry of the music, and you know the fantasy that I'm about to play is you know from the later period of Mozart's life, and it kind of already has a feeling of looking into the you know sort of what's going to happen further with music, and I wouldn't say it's a romantic music, but certainly has a hint of being more romantic than, for example, some of the earlier Mozart works.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the fact that he wrote this fantasy in C minor, and then there's also the D minor fantasy, and those are the same keys that he used for both of his minor concertos. So do you think he was maybe working out some explorations of the possibilities of those keys?
I think so. I mean, if you think about it, you know, in terms of keyboard repertoire, you know, concertos or solo piano sonatas, there are not so many in minor keys. You know, you mostly have, you know, major keys like G major, A major, are very popular, B flat major. Out of the concertos, for example, there are only two, the D minor and C minor, and both are quite phenomenal works. And I think, yes, the fantasies are sort of maybe like little sketches, or not so little, actually. This fantasy is quite substantial, in my opinion.
Well, and of course, Chopin also wrote a fantasy as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe he was thinking of those pieces. Well, let's hear this work now by to Mozart, the fantasy in C minor, Kochel 475, again with pianist Vasily Primakov. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mozart's Fantasy in C minor, Köchel 475, played today by pianist Vasily Primakov, our guest today in a live impromptu. And he will perform Mozart this weekend with the Woodstock Mozart Fest performances Saturday, July 27th at 8 p.m., Sunday, July 28th at 3, with Donato Cabrera conducting the orchestra. And you will play the Concerto number 17. So how does that fit in the timeline with the work that we just heard, the Fantasy in C minor?
Well, it's slightly earlier. The work that we heard is key number is 475. The Concerto is 453. It's a beautiful piece, you know. It's so special. Well, special because it's the only concerto by Mozart in G major. Mm. You know, we have repeats, like we have E flats, we have the A major, the short one, and the big one. This one is G major. Always reminds me a little bit of Magic Flute, you know, and just gorgeous second movement and the third movement that has beautiful variations. And ends with just like this most joyous, amazing way.
Well, our listeners can get out there to the Woodstock Opera House to hear you perform it this weekend. Let's talk a little more about the label that you created, LP Classics, which was founded in 2011 with pianist Natalia Lavrova. You both studied at Juilliard, but both originally from Moscow. How did you get together and decide to put together a label?
Very simple. You know, Natalia and I, well, as you mentioned, Natalia Lavrova, both studied at Juilliard and actually only met at Juilliard, even though we're both from Moscow. We wanted to play two piano for quite some time, but never really found the time to do so. And then finally decided, okay, we have to find a worthy project and just do it. And so at that time, I was looking into Arensky's two piano suites, which I honestly did not know even existed prior to that. And so I was really fascinated with music, really loved it, and I said, well, this is our project. We're going to play all four of the Arensky suites. So we started performing them in concert, and were quite successful with it, mainly because people just did not know Arensky's music and didn't realize that he was the teacher of Scriabin and Rachmaninoff. So it's the same kind of Russian 19th century charming, beautiful salon kind of music. So we decided, okay, you know, we have to sort of put it down on paper, so to speak. You know, we have to probably record those because, you know, it's just a shame that people don't know those pieces. So we first wanted to maybe shop for a label and, you know, just pitch it to somebody. And then I think over like dinner and probably drinks, most likely, we decided, well, why not do it ourselves? And, you know, by that time, I've had quite a bit of experience working for a great, great American label, Bridge Records.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of knew not only, well, how to record, but also kind of knew, you know, the post-production part. And so in that way, you see, like, when you do it yourself, you kind of have control over everything. So that's how it started. And then we right away sat down and decided, well, what do we want to do with our label? And even though I hate the word goal, but like we have two goals. One is the historical. So as you talked about my former teacher, Gornostaeva, like trying to bring back those kind of recordings and let people get to know it, you know, those kind of performers. And then the other goal is, of course, to help young musicians, sort of like ourselves, but, you know, for we've got records. But there are a lot of musicians out there that are absolutely amazing and need that first, you know, commercial recording with great quality to kind of present themselves to the world, to the presenters. You know, we're living 21st century, so, like, you know, just a homemade recording doesn't cut it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started kind of scouting and see who we want to work with and decided on, so far we have three amazing artists that we're actually releasing all in this coming fall, late fall. We have two pianists and a cellist that we are recording, in the process of recording. And for all three of them, it's going to be their debut disc.
Okay, so you really oversee the whole administrative aspect of this
so
project.
So far we do. We're a small label. You know, people ask us, like, well, how do you do this? How do you? Well, you know, we sit there until 4 a.m, you know, and get it done.
Yeah. Well, they've been wonderful recordings. Really enjoyed the Chopin disc that came out earlier. And what else is in the future for you in terms of recording on your label? Do you have any projects for yourself coming up?
You know, I have recorded so much. I always tell myself, well, I need to take a break. But of course, you know, I won't. I know that I won't. You know, one of the things that I do want to take seriously is continue exploring more Chopin. And this record with the all three sonatas, ballades, and scherzos, was really successful. I wasn't actually expecting it to be so. And so people are now asking me, like, well, how about polonaises? How about mazurkas? I'm thinking next probably will be all of the mazurkas. I recorded selected ones, but I never actually did all of them, and I do play most of them. So that might be one of the next projects in line. And but I actually prefer to record other people. It's so much fun to be a part of that process, and you know, and you're creating something really wonderful and kind of part of history, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's wonderful, a combination of the old and new. Well, let's close out your recital today with two more pieces. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to do two short pieces, one by Scriabin. It's a prelude for the left hand in C-sharp minor. We're kind of having a lot of C-sharp minor today, the polonaise, the scherzo. And I won't cheat. I will play it only with my left hand. and then Rachmaninoff's Moment Musical in E minor, opus 16, number 4. Thank you.
Pianist Vasily Primakov in Rachmaninoff, Momo Musico in E minor from Opus 16, number 4. And before that, the prelude for The Left Hand in C sharp minor, Opus 9, number 1 of Alexander Scriabin. Played for us live today by Vasily Primakov. He will perform this weekend as part of the Woodstock Mozart Fest in Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 17, performances Saturday and Sunday. And for more information, go to mozartfest.org. Also, check out his label LP Classics, his latest release, a collection of Chopin works, a 2-CD set, and lots more coming out. And actually, you'll be coming back to Chicago in August for a performance in the Dame Myra Hess concert series. Do you know the date of that? I forgot to look it up.
Something either 27th or 28th, something like that.
Okay. And you're still working on the program for that, for the Hess concert. Well, thank you so much for playing today. It was a pleasure to meet you and to hear you play, and have always enjoyed your recording. So we would love to welcome you back. Thanks again. And this has been an impromptu on WFMT. I'm Lisa Flynn. Our engineer was Joshua Savageau. It is supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous contributions from members of WFMT's Fine Arts Circle. If you enjoyed this live performance, please consider joining the Fine Arts Circle yourself. And you can become a member online by pledging at WFMT.com. And our thanks also to Louise Frank, the series producer for Impromptu. And now let's go back to Carrie Fromkin.